Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in
right here in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
You know, this is not my first National Football League rodeo, as you all know.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The hat is rakish, and I'm rakish in it. If you don't like it, have a more interesting life.
Rich Eisen. Today's guest, columnist Pete Thamel. Two-time Super Bowl champion safety, Malcolm Jenkins. 49ers tight end, George Kittle.
You know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow, have the same life that they had, same personal problems that they had.
And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Love starting the show with a laugh. Love it. Welcome to this edition of this here program in Los Angeles, California. Hello to the NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM viewers and listeners. We say hello to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit that brings this show through to your ear gate, coast to coast. Same to the Odyssey app. Listeners and our podcast consumers at the Cumulus Podcast Network, where this show is broken up into all 3 hours. You can get us every single day as a podcast form. You can also watch whatever you missed on YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show after everything is over. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. What's happening, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is in his position once again for a fourth straight day. He might cramp up. Oh. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson.
What did it do, Richie? What
did candles do? Lit. So you got yourself a new lighter? What do you got?
Well, you know, I thought Bic would come through. They haven't yet, so I had to rub two sticks together.
Okay, is that what it is?
Yeah, but you know, the Boy Scout training, even though I was never a Boy Scout.
Who knew the Rich Eisen Show is BYOB, bring your own butane.
We're on fire tonight.
You know, just get yourself. You know, here's what you do: get a new lighter, and we'll put on the Underhills. It'll be fine.
Okay, definitely. Okay. That's why I put everything.
Oh, you're
going
to have to run that by HR. HR.
Run that by human resources.
Run that by HR. Please.
No, I'm a member. I'm finance.
Yeah, that's true.
Welcome to this program. Candles lit. Candles lit.
Can we restart this over?
We start this show with why not professional football? Professional football. We all love professional football, don't we? We love the American Football Conference. We love the National Football Conference. And we love the Southeast Conference. Because that's professional football. What do you mean, Rich? Wait a minute. That's college football. What are you talking about? Out of the sport we call collegiate football, but really is professional football, latest indication that I am not just trying to stir it up and be cynical. Kirby Smart. I've heard of him, right? You heard of him?
Oh, I've heard of him.
He is the head coach of your defending national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. He is the latest Nick Saban acolyte, former assistant to go elsewhere and try his hand at things and succeed. Kirby Smart has been rewarded for that success. Yep. All those Georgia Bulldogs who left to go to the National Football League and lit up the NFL draft. Well, guess what? You got yourself a head coach who's paid like a professional football head coach. According to all reports, new 10-year deal.
Woo!
New 10-year deal worth $111 million. You know what? And we appreciate that, as does probably all the collegiate athletes there who might not be taking math classes.
Oh my!
That's $11 million a year.
That's not bad.
That's definitely more than some NFL head coaches. That's for sure. $11 million a year. So Kirby Smart. I will just say this. I don't know if we've had him on.
We have not.
I don't want to hear ever. Out of his mouth, a single, and I don't think he's made one yet either. Who knows? At some point, may happen. I don't know. I'm just front loading it. We cannot hear out of his mouth ever again anything about players and the NIL and transfer portals and all that stuff. I am sorry. We can't.
That would be the first. I've never really heard him.
I know that. I'm just front loading it.
Yeah.
I'm just front loading it. Can't hear it. Can't have it. Won't have it.
It went with them.
And because this is it. This is where we are. Head coaches in college football paid better than professional football head coaches in the National Football League. And it's all coming. It is all coming. What's the it? Professionalism to the collegiate level. the Division I Council, according to Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, recommending that the NCAA get rid of the one-time part of its transfer rule. What does that mean? Anyone would be able to transfer and have immediate eligibility if they meet academic standards. Provost is standing right there, making sure your grades are ready. Okay. You imagine some kid who is incredibly talented says, I want to transfer from this school to that school, and that school's provost says, yeah, we can't get the kid in academically. It happens today, and I guess it'll happen here, if they meet academic standards. Otherwise, athletes could transfer multiple times and play right away. According to Nicole, this coupled with transfer windows would allow athletes to compete right away at their new school as long as they have academic eligibility, provide notification of the intention to transfer during the transfer window. And it would be an increased burden on the schools that accept transfers. The school would be required to provide financial aid to the student athlete through the completion of the student's five-year period of eligibility or undergraduate graduation, meaning they'll have to pay for their education, right? Because there's no scholarship, right, to a transfer student, I guess? I don't know. It's all common. That's, if you will, that's more open than any free agency that you see in the NFL. Yeah, you know what? I don't like it here. I'm too buried on the depth chart. I'm out of here. Well, how many college football head coaches can say I'm out of here on their contract and just go and wind up somewhere else and start dancing in recruiting videos for kids who don't come and be part of your family? You see what I'm saying? So coaches and athletic directors and schools might not like this. Why? Because a kid can just up and leave. Go. Out. You don't get any compensation for it. You give the kid a scholarship. He takes a spot. He doesn't like the spot. He wants to go to a different spot, leaving you with no spot. What's a way around that? What will be a way around that? Contracts. Sign it. You are with us for 3 years. You won't be able to transfer until year three. 2+1. I mean, it's contracts, unions, I'm telling you. And the way it happens is they're just going to form their own leagues. So, Pete Fammel's going to join us to talk about exactly this in about 20 minutes' time. Coaches being paid like professional football coaches. Players are going to be able to transfer. Out. Don't like it? See ya. Coach, play me. If you don't play me, I'm out. I'm going somewhere else. And then suddenly a kid leaves and starts transferring 2-3 times. What happens then? Does the next school take him? Man, oh man, oh man. And the NCAA is the one that's going to be running this. Get out of here. They're not going to have any handle on this at all.
No.
What a holy hell of a mess this is becoming. But hey, Kirby Smart's been paid, and Georgia kids will know, you come here, you've got that coach, you've got that NIL deal, you've got that path to the NFL. Georgia's handled. They're one of the haves. Alabama's one of the haves. All the haves getting together. Right now it's called the Southeast Conference. Soon it'll be called what?
Might still be the Southeast Conference.
That's what they'll call it?
Yeah.
It'll still be the Southeast Conference, still be the Big Ten. We need two more super leagues. That's it. We need two more. You got two at 16. Give me two more with 16. And then suddenly you got yourself four super leagues that will run their own championships. And whoever comes out of it, that's a 4-team playoff, right?
Well, 16. You could have the top four in each conference.
Play it out?
Yeah.
Or they just run their own conference, run their own championship.
Oh, then the winner.
In the same way the AFC runs its own championship and the NFC runs its own championship, and the two meet in something called the Super Bowl.
Sure, that works.
So you got four super leagues, come up with four of their champions, and off they go. And if you're not in it, and if you're not in the, and if you're not in those four leagues, what's the one of the many phrases I heard in camp? Tough noogies.
Tough noogies.
That's from my Camp Lukanda days. Another story that kind of hit us after we went off the air. We hung up from Ian Rappaport talking about Jimmy G and our friend Adam Schefter reporting that Jimmy G has been allowed to seek a trade. You go find it. You go find the spot you want to go to. Say the San Francisco 49ers. You know what? I always like being right. I always like being right.
Is it the thing you enjoy the most?
You know what? As somebody who does something like this for a living and actually cares that what I say turns into something right, not that I'm throwing so many takes at the wall, you won't remember the bad ones that I have. I'll even bring up the bad ones that I've had. Don't trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, still your clubhouse leader in the soon-to-be eight-year history of this program. I don't just throw things at the wall and hope you forget it or have no shame when you bring it up to me. Like some others in this business. But I do like being right. Trey Lance's team. How many times have I been telling you this is Trey Lance's team? We even had Fred Warner on Monday, and I'm like, it's Trey Lance's team, right? And he goes, well, I'm just the Pro Bowl linebacker here, okay?
I play defense, Rich.
They haven't really said it yet, so I'll leave it up to them. That's what I'm like, but if it is his team, he's someone you can follow, right? Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Because he knows it's his team. It's just not his job to say it. So Jimmy G's out. There's no way he's coming back. This was a team that basically said Jimmy G's time is running short. The minute they struck the trade to go trade up, third overall, two drafts ago. The minute they did that, the clock was ticking on Jimmy Garoppolo, and they had the ability to stick with him last year, cap-wise, locker room-wise, coach-wise, owner-wise, general manager-wise. They had the organization all set up to allow Garoppolo to stick around and do what he did last year and allow Lance the time that they felt he needed. It's his time now. So I've been telling you that for months. And you don't tell somebody to go ahead, seek a trade, and then keep him. The problem for the Niners is who's going to trade for somebody coming off of shoulder surgery who's just beginning to throw over the last few weeks? I guess Ian said yesterday he's making most of the throws. What, the 40-yarders and things like that?
40-yard out he had.
He's saying, right.
Tough throw.
But, you know, again, you're going to acquire somebody in the midst of training camp. Who's going to do that for the freight $25 million that he is?
Yeah, nobody.
I don't think anybody's going to do it. And you take a look at Baker Mayfield, who's making less, who had to eat his own portion of his own salary to get out for a 2024 fifth rounder that could go into a fourth rounder. My spidey sense tells me this is coming down to a release. And I don't know any other team that might think differently. They might with circumstances that shake out, some horrible injury befalls a quarterback a la Teddy Bridgewater from a few years ago. Suddenly Sam Bradford, voila, needs to be acquired by a team, and Garoppolo could be that guy. And if I'm the Niners, I would wait. I would wait to see if that happens, because not only, one, would that be the spot where Jimmy Garoppolo would be best for him is to get an opportunity immediately, but also you don't release him. Releasing him opens up a path to Seattle, which I would, if I'm San Francisco, do everything in my power to avoid. I don't want to see him in division. I don't want to see him twice a year. I don't need to do that. Why am I helping out my rival that appears to be in a very difficult spot? I got to face them twice a year. I'd rather face Geno. I'd rather face Drew Locke than Jimmy G, right? If you're the Niners?
I think so.
That's just the way I'm seeing all of this playing out. Could somebody trade for him? Of course. Can somebody take salary, eat salary? Of course. I have no idea. Neither do the Niners, but right now they're giving him the opportunity to go seek it. You go find it. I don't know who's raising their hands to go get Jimmy G right now in a trade. And you keep seeing Houston. I don't buy that. I think Houston's all in on Davis Mills. And they should be.
I think he's pretty good.
As well they should be. It's like they're not going to try. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they've got a team that can do it. You never know. This league is a you never know league. But why wouldn't they just, they just got a new head coach and Lovie Smith. Just keep taking your lumps with Davis Mills, which, by the way, last year wasn't a lot of the Jets had more lumps with Zach Wilson. The Jaguars had more lumps with Trevor Lawrence. You could even say the Bears had more lumps with Justin Fields last year than what the Houston Texans did with Davis Mills. I don't buy that one. You're hearing the Browns, too. But the Browns are apparently bringing in A.J. McCarron and Josh Rosen for a look-see in case Watson has fewer than 17 games thrown at him by Sue L. Robinson, the judge who is considering his playing status for 2022.
Oh, baby.
His Jimmy G thing doesn't have a clear picture right now, other than the fact that if you're a team in the NFL, why would you trade any draft capital for somebody who costs $25 million coming off of surgery on one of his arms? You know? I don't see it. But the one thing that is for sure and clear is that it's Trey Lance's team. Now, that's not the reason why we're having George Kittle on in hour number three.
No, it's not.
We're having George Kittle on in hour number three because of all of his plane travel chatter that got caused by his tweet that we picked up and spent 3 hours talking about yesterday about some individual in his exit row.
Good stuff.
Putting multiple bags in the overhead bin. And apparently, George said thoughts on this, meaning he was very upset about it. And I'm like, hey, look, first in, first up. You got multiple bags, you put it up there if there's space.
Called you diabolical.
Call me diabolical for that. Then you asked him, because he's in the middle row, do you get both armrests? He said yes to that.
Yeah.
I reached out to him. He has yet to respond on the thorny issue of people reclining into your area from the row in front of you. Yeah. So George is going to be calling us, and I do believe he's calling us on his way to the airport back from wherever he was traveling.
Oh, goodness. Another flight?
Yes, indeed.
I think he upgraded.
I don't know.
Wow.
Somebody stuck him in row 19D.
Jeez.
Now, I might, just might, at some point during the conversation, use the fact that he was in row 19 to bring up his number 19 on his team. Just a little bit. That might be my in for a little bit of Debo chatter.
Even though you promised?
But there's some Kyler Murray news to hit, everybody. Everybody. Okay, we'll get to that. And Pete Thamel of the Worldwide Leader in Sports to talk about Kirby Smart being paid like a professional football coach, because it appears he is one. 844-204-RICH, number to dial in the program. Malcolm Jenkins, the retiree, he's in town for the ESPYs. He wore a suit of his own design last night.
Look good.
So he will be the second hour guest in the Rich Eisen studio. Did I just rack up some charges? Ohio State going to sue me?
Wow.
I
mean,
for copyright infringement, trademark infringement.
This is being typed up as we speak.
The Circle TM guest of hour number two is Malcolm Jenkins. That's how we're rolling here on this busy Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on Peacock Sirius XM, the terrestrial radio audience rejoins us in a little bit over 2 minutes' time. That's when we'll bring in Pete Thamel of ESPN, talk about everything going on in college football. I'm so thrilled to catch up with somebody who knows all, and it'll be a great chat shortly. February 28th was a date. I remember it fondly because it was a date that this piece of paper first hit my desk. This piece of paper, radio audience, I'm holding up, is a statement from Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhart. And it was a very Jerry Maguire-like manifesto.
Mission statement.
Mission statement, saying he wants to stay and win a Super Bowl. And then there were a whole bunch of paragraphs about, you know, Murray's worth and how it seems like the Cardinals were not seeing his worth in what's called a volatile business. Actions speak much louder than words in this volatile business. That was in bold. I mean, what a beautiful letter this is. The stationary Murray, and then in the bottom right corner in the KM. His initials right here, and hey, this is incredible. And I've had it on my desk all this time, thinking, you know, it's worth having. And, you know, with Murray not signing yet, and thinking, you know, it would be germane to have on my desk. And here it is, July 21st. And it's still germane when I arrived for work today. I'm going to miss this piece of paper.
This might be the last day.
I don't know. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Because it looks like, to use the Maguire phrase, someone's about to get a lot of qualm. Ian Rappaport saying, monster extension will make Murray one of the NFL's highest paid players, sources tell me, and Tom Pelissero, after an offseason of drama, Murray could be locked in as Arizona's quarterback for years to come. And it took just a few minutes for that conditional phrasing to become a little bit more solid. Like, it's a 5-year deal coming, according to Ian. Murray's 24 years old, verge of doing a new 5-year extension. Arizona's quarterback just slated to report to training camp today. This is Tom Pelissero.
Yeah, 2 minutes ago. Yes. They have agreed to terms.
Oh, that was fast.
Extension through 2028. Massive.
This piece of paper, it's been on my desk since February 28th.
Should we get some of that?
I'm glad it's still here because I need something to dab my tears.
Should we get some of that Justin Hartley tequila pour it out?
It's dusty in here. It's dusty in here. It's literally dusty in here. Oh, man, I'm going to miss this piece of paper. I can't quit it. I cannot quit this piece of paper. I'm going to leave it here for a while.
I said we should laminate that.
Congratulations, K1.
Put it next to the belief.
Congratulations, K1. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. He is one of the best in the business covering the world of college football, or as the SEC might say it, professional football, as they are now paying their coaches better than some NFL coaches. Kirby Smart, new deal, reportedly 10 years, $111 million, from ESPN, ESPN.com, and the family of networks there. Pete Thamel here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm not as good as Kyler or Kirby.
That's right. Yeah, Kyler's new name, image, and likeness deal in the NFL is pretty much lit, yeah. You know? So, you know, it's crazy, Pete. I mean, is there any kimono anymore? Because it seems like the world of college football, the way it keeps on moving, is not just ripped the kimono off or lifted it, it's just burned it. It's done. There is no kimono, right, in college football anymore.
I cover professional football.
You do?
University affiliations.
Right.
That's what it is. And I've always really done that, but it has never been as naked and transparent as it is. It is right now. And that is simply an observation, not a complaint or a judgment.
Of course.
These guys have worked too hard and risked too much for too long to not be rewarded in the ways that they're able to now. And so it is much needed progress. And it's a little bit like there was so many obstacles to get here that now when the dam did finally break, it's a bit of a mess, right? And I'm not saying that there should be, you know, guard. People always use these coded words. There just needs to be some rules. Like in the NFL, for example, like Kyler is signing a new contract, and when he's under contract, he can't sign a contract with someone else. Like it's just it is a little bit of a free for all that I think can really be harnessed with a little bit of guidance. But of course, when there's no one in charge of your multi-billion-dollar industry, that makes it a little bit more difficult. So,
yeah, I mean that's the issue here, and that's why I think, you know, not just the money, not just the television contracts, but the want, the need for guidelines and rules when it comes to name, image, and likeness, when it comes to, I guess, what the Division I Council's talking about just transfer period being anybody could go anytime, multiple times, and play right away as long as they have academic standards that are met. That's the reason why there will be super leagues formed, so they could create their own rules that the coaches and the schools in a smaller grouping will be able to agree on, and that will be an impetus more than anything else, Pete. You know, what do you
think?
I don't
know if there was a question in there, but you went from everything from like an obscure NCAA council to super league. So the breadth of what you commented on was impressive.
Thank you. But no, there was not a question. Well, I guess, what do you think is my question about all that, Pete?
Yes, I think what you your thesis underscored that it's a bit of a mess right now, and the lack of there being leadership makes it a bit of an untenable mess. I think one thing that goes missing a little bit, Rich, in this is that the Supreme Court itself actually has sort of paved the way for what this thing is going to look like in the future. And I do firmly believe, and have written before the USC-UCLA move, was that the conferences are not going to be subject to antitrust rules, whereas overall NCAA and college sports decisions could be. And so in a sense, Justice Kavanaugh and the crew there gave a roadmap to how college athletics could look. So, for example, if the SEC now decides it wants 22 baseball scholarships, I believe there's 11.7 or 11.9, some number like that now, like they can do that. And then it's going to be up to the ACC to decide if it wants to do that. So there's a bunch of proposals right now that are being discussed about limiting coaching positions. Right now there's obviously 10 staff members who can go on the road and are sort of full-time coaches, and there's a gazillion analysts and such anyway. But, like, why should you limit the amount of coaches who can coach players on the field? I think that's a little bit inefficient and counterproductive, right? Like, if you know, why choose to have a special teams coach, for example, or not have a special teams coach, or an extra D tackle or VN coach or whatever? I think the more coaching, the better. So all these little things are going to be decided, but I think the notion of someone becoming in charge, we need a commissioner, everybody says, we need a commissioner. Well, do you think someone can just magically appear atop the food chain and everyone's going to just listen to them? All these leagues, the commissioners have the most power. They certainly have more power than Mark Emmert, who basically hasn't been woken up from a long nap in about 8 years in charge of the NCAA. And then the NCAA just committees everything to death, right? So this latest, you know, this transformation committee that's meeting, and I hope they come up with proposals that change and clarify and guide the, you know, whole enterprise forward. But I've seen about 8 committees hailed to be transformational. So I'm not exactly holding my breath. This is the one that's going to transform it. So I hope they do. But my cynicism has been developed over seeing a lot of untransformational commits, including the Condoleezza Rice one to, you know, clean up college basketball 5 years ago in the wake of the scandal, and they still haven't punished hardly anybody from that. So it's it is a beautiful game and a terrible business, and I don't see either of those things changing. Thankfully, the games remain beautiful.
ESPN college football senior writer Pete Thamel here on the Rich Eisen Show. Moments ago, you asked, you know, who would be a commissioner, right? I mean, somebody's not just going to appear that everyone would listen to. In lieu of all that, I think the commissioner of college football is Greg Sankey. He sounds like one. He looks like one. And it does appear he holds a lot of cards. I understand there's the Big Ten still as well, having just brought in, you know, having turned right here Los Angeles into Big Ten country. But Sankey, you know, absolutely is leading the conversation about college football playoffs and things of that nature. What did you learn from SEC Media Week, Pete Thamel?
Well, I think I learned that if you're going to be Big Ten country in L.A., you should get Big Ten weather 3 months a year.
Sorry. Hard pass, sir. Hard pass. I'll take turned leaves, but other than that, you know.
Late skies and cold winds right down Sunset.
Right.
You know, what I learned from SEC media is interesting, right? Like, we're in this era of a power two, and I'm certainly not afraid to call it that because that's what the finances dictate. And I'm sitting here at ACC Media Day doing this interview, so I'll probably get some dirty looks from the folks outside the so-called gated communities, as Jim Phillips called them yesterday. But, and the Greg Sankey versus Kevin Warren dynamic is going to be a dynamic that shapes the future of the whole sport. Just like Mike Slive and Jim Delaney did, you know, in a past generation. The Sankey Warren dynamic is more adversarial than maybe the Slive Delaney dynamic was, and it's very interesting. Each of those leagues obviously is primarily tied to a large cable television network or large television network, so that obviously adds to some of the intrigue around this stuff, Rich. But you know, my takeaway from SEC media is, look, they've won 12 of the last 16 national titles, and I think what Clemson, Ohio State, and Florida State won. Clemson won two, and those were the other ones. So they are the dominant league, and the statistics certainly dictate that. And you know, when Michigan goes and lays a dinosaur egg in the playoff like they did last year, Rich, it doesn't help that dynamic. So that was a joke.
It fell flat. It fell flat.
I could tell, it fell flat,
Pete. But I the imagery is vivid, no question about it. So the question is, you know, the SEC says they're not looking to expand, right? Have we just seen the seismic movement of 2022, or is there more to come? What do you see from that
question? I've been writing that we're in a period of peace until that period ends, right? Like, there's no movement until there is. And you know, the dynamic of like there's a clear moat between the power two leagues and everybody else, and I don't think we're going to see a flurry of movement next week from those two in particular. But I think to sit here and say in 5 years they're not going to be at 20 would be naive too. Like, they're going to move at some point, and it's a little bit like Spy versus Spy. There's binoculars in suburban Chicago, and there's binoculars in Birmingham, and they're peering at each other constantly. And you know, the available, viable, and profitable chess pieces are few. So Notre Dame obviously being the primary among those, and then if each is going to add four to keep round numbers, you know, there's it's not like a list of 30 they're picking from, right? It's the two Pacific Northwest schools, and then there's sort of your menu du jour of ACC schools, and that's obviously a thicket of the grain of rights, which I won't bore your listeners with legal jargon, but basically it will be expensive and legally risky for schools to leave the ACC in the next 14 years. That's not to say one won't do it within that 14-year period of time, but I don't see anyone imminently taking that up. So there's pressure on the ACC now to find new ways to generate revenue. So But yeah, long story short, like, the next move is going to be dictated in a large part by whoever wants to, you know, feels the need to grab properties deemed valuable. So that is, you know, long story. Like North Carolina to me is fascinating because they're one of the few schools that would actually fit in both leagues, that would be desired by both leagues. There's a, I think it's the ninth biggest state in the country, the Charlotte, Raleigh market. There's good players in the state of North Carolina, very, very good players in the state of North Carolina. And it's a great brand, right? UNC, basketball is very good, which probably matters 15% of the whole thing, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have the, you know, the Heels playing on a Monday night in April. That's a good thing. And, you know, UNC football has been generally irrelevant for the last generation, but Mack Brown has recruited well. They haven't necessarily played well the last 2 years, but it's, you could see them, you know, playing Penn State in the Big Ten, and you could also see them playing South Carolina, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting you choose North Carolina out of all this. Like Clemson is the first one on everyone's lips, right? And then now sure. Miami with Mario Cristobal there, you know, bouncing the turnover chain, and you know, you got Florida State, right? I mean, so
sure.
Why?
Well, I just think geographically, right?
Yeah.
It fits in both. And I don't necessarily know if you can see Clemson in the Big Ten, right? And that's not knocking Clemson. They have earned on the field more than anybody in the sport, not named Alabama, in the last decade. So that, but there is, you know, I roll my eyes at myself when I mention this, but there is AAU schools, and the Big Ten still does have a bit of snobbery, despite offering you a degree, Rich. They're still, they still hold themselves to some high standards up there. So, you know, fit in presidents and all that stuff does become important. So, but I just bring up Carolina because I could see that being one coveted by both places, but more so not wanting the other one to get it. Does that make sense?
Sure, of course. I mean, that's the battle that you talk about, the spy versus spy. Yes. Great Mad Magazine reference that you mentioned. Thank between the SEC's home office and the Big Ten's home office. And just because I know, Pete Thamel, you're a journalist of the highest order, the Big Ten offered me 2 degrees. I went to Northwestern graduate school. Just wanted to make sure you understood that. That might sound like a humble brag, but this is all in the spirit of accuracy, Pete.
Yes.
Okay. Pete Thamel here on the Rich Eisen Show. So before I let you go, Notre Dame, what is their move? What in the world is their strategy, right? Because the word was the Big Ten wanted them with USC, didn't get that. And so what is Notre Dame's deal right now?
So, Rich, I think they're enjoying their newfound popularity. If you think about when Jack Swarbrick took over maybe 12, 15 years ago, I vividly remember because I was at the game. It was Big Ten weather. Charlie Weiss lost to UConn at home. Mm. The great Randy Edsall trounced the Irish in South Bend. So there weren't exactly visions of grandeur and playoff appearances and undefeated seasons and such since then. So you fast forward to now. They're the prettiest date on the dance floor. Notre Dame is not going to go to a league unless they're forced to or they see scenarios unfolding that forces them to join a league. So there's 4 years left, Rich, on the CFP contract. There's 4 years left on their NBC deal. I don't think they do anything until the future of both of those things becomes clearer. The CFP is really the key here. If the CFP is organized in a way that limits severely Notre Dame's access to the playoff, there's probably a better chance that they'll join a league. And then, but that's probably going to take 2 years for all those commissioners who aren't exactly getting along famously right now. It's going to take about 2 years for them to decide on that. So I think Notre Dame's going to sit back and wait that out. And then I think they're in a really good position to cash in on a TV deal. They've had what, 3 undefeated seasons in the last decade or so under Brian Kelly, regular seasons, I should say. They played for the BCS title poorly, but they played for it, and they made two playoffs, obviously, under Brian after that. So I really feel like if you're Notre Dame right now, there will be a lot of bidding because they're Notre Dame. A streaming service has a lot easier time buying 6 or 7 home games a year than they would, you know, taking on a league package and having to, you know, put the Tuesday night Utah-Washington State game on television or whatever. Like there's a lot of infrastructure that goes into a lot of these deals, and Notre Dame doesn't really – they offer a lot of pop without a lot of the backroom investment. So I really think Notre Dame would be in position to cash in a significant way. And if it was always all about money for Notre Dame, they would have joined a league a long time ago. They make less annually from TV stuff than like ACC schools do and certainly Big Ten schools do. So – I think Notre Dame is going to sit back and monitor the chessboard enjoy its newfound status as the prettiest girl in the dance floor, and they will wait and see how the other moves unfold. But they haven't been in a rush to join a league for a century, and I don't think they're going to continue that. Here's one little good spy nugget for you.
Yes,
I am skeptical that the SEC would agree to a playoff that boxes out Notre Dame and forces them to join the Big Ten. Does that make sense? Because they'd be essentially giving the Big Ten the best property on the board, and that's bad business. So I think they'd create a playoff. And look, the playoff, people forget, Rich, is really a television contract.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it will probably be a two-network television contract. So I don't see the playoff imminently becoming exclusive, because whatever those two TV networks are, they're going to own properties outside of the Big Ten and the SEC, right? So they're going to want those properties to have a vibrant shot at the playoff. They're not going to undercut their other investments by terming them second tier and not giving them access to the playoff. Does that make sense?
Yes. So when Greg Sankey says this week, you know, hey, that whole idea I said that other people outside of our world can be part of a playoff that we'd agree to, yeah, let's go back to the drawing board where none of those can come in. He's kind of what? Not telling the truth? Because if he does that, so that forces Notre Dame to the Big Ten or something like that?
What he said this week was like, let's not have automatic qualifiers for the playoff. Let's just bring in the top-ranked 4, 8, 12 teams.
Right.
So now it's both logical and completely self-serving, right? Because 6 of the 12 teams could be from the SEC some years. 5 yes. of the 12 teams could be from the SEC some years.
Yes.
And some years the Pac-12 might not have a team there, so they might not make it. So, like, everyone's stance on this is rooted in their own realities.
Yes.
But one of the realities that was reinforced in the past month is that the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have likely a bigger say in how that's shaped.
Pete Thamel, really appreciate the time. There's so much. I literally could talk to you for a full hour, but you've got to go back to your gig, and I got to get to a commercial break. I appreciate the time. Let's do this again. Please look for my call more often. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Pete Thamel right here on the Rich Eisen Show from the worldwide leader in sports. Dinosaur egg, huh? That was a big goose egg. Big goose egg.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
All right, let's take a break. Kyler Murray's contract, we now know the money. He has been shown the money. The question is, was he shown the money that Deshaun Watson was shown? That's part of the conversation we're going to have when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show before Malcolm Jenkins joins us in studio. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're not even Well, I don't even know if you're going to be in the league yet or not. I guess we'll find that out.
Yeah, we will.
What did it mean for you to win the Heisman Trophy?
That was a dream come true. I mean, it's still really hasn't really set in. It's weird. I don't say my life changed, but, you know, just everywhere I go, people notice me, stuff like that. So something I've always dreamed of, obviously. So, you know, I'm not surprised by any of the reactions and stuff like that, but it's definitely a blessing.
Okay. And where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
Yeah. It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's Good Morning Heisman every
type,
day?
Yeah, type.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman trophy's resting
there. Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it by accident?
No, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. And by the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman. I have received the Heisman. It was asking for prom dates back in high school. I got the Heisman a lot.
Oh, gosh.
New fantasy name? Heisman spooning?
Heisman spooning is a great fantasy team name.
Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh my God, you won't even answer that.
Wow.
Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. That's one. Here we go. That's two. Kyler Murray. Everybody. That's three. By the way. That's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know
first
that.
First overall pick.
That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven.
Oh my goodness.
Here, let's get some. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No, yeah, it's getting bad. Yeah. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray.
Good to see you, man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. He won the Heisman and, it seems, the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Fun stuff. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire show archive. And Kyler Murray able to rebound from that one. Oh boy, back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sirius XM, back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network as well. Rogue Irons, Callaway didn't just create their longest irons ever with the new Rogue ST. They made their longest irons ever perform at the highest level for every player. Rogue ST irons come in four different offerings, each model using artificial intelligence on high strength 450 steel. Look, it's the only irons ever to do so. Four different offerings. You're going to love the Rogue ST Max. It's the one that I've been using. Widest range of players. This is exactly what it fits because of a great combination of speed, forgiveness, all-around performance. If you're a low to mid-single-digit handicapper, the Rogue ST Pro is the one for you. Game improvement. You will need a game improvement model. That's the Max OS. That's for the mid to high handicappers. Forgiveness comes with high launch, wide soles, enhanced offset. The Max OS Lite, the most high forgiving high launch iron. That's for players with slower swing speeds. Look, no other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST irons at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. February 28th, when the statement came out from the agent of Kyler Murray, putting the Cardinals in quite the bind going into Combine Week. That, hey, you're not paying my guy. My guy is not happy. My guy wants to stay. You're the one who's forcing him to go. In this note that he sent to everybody in the Valley, the great community of the Valley, stating his two very important goals and objectives. He actually wants to be your long-term quarterback. He desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. Those were his two goals, according to Eric Burkhart. I kept this statement here because this statement, if you remember, came after he scrubbed his Instagram account the Monday of Super Bowl week, when everybody's paying attention to this stuff, right? And then this happened, the combine happened, and we were still talking about it, and nothing happened. Nothing happened prior to the draft, wasn't traded. Nothing happened at the draft. Nothing happened after the draft. Nothing happened with OTAs. Nothing happened until today, July 21st. This missive is now just, we should send this to Canton. And by this, I mean this piece of paper, because it's been legendary on this desk.
Saying this should be hung in the Louvre, Rich.
I'm telling you, right?
Hanging
in the Louvre.
Hanging. No longer operative. the statement, except for, I guess, the two objectives, because Kyler Murray has been signed. And the Cardinals just sent out, this is the Kyler Murray extension tweet.
That's funny.
There it is. 5-year extension. So it's 6 years this year and then the 5 years after that. And keeps him through the 2028 season there in Arizona. And so what are the numbers? Because the conversation has all been about Deshaun Watson for many reasons. One of them being he was given a contract by the Browns with all of his outstanding issues, one way to put it, still outstanding. He got every dollar guaranteed with $230 million of them, right?
Yep.
So did Kyler get everything guaranteed? He did not actually get everything guaranteed. He does get a deal worth $230.5 million. So he can make all of that. But the guaranteed dollars is $160 million. And then the whole average per year, according to our boy Shefty. And I also saw this from Ian as well, just to make sure I'm taking care of all friends. $46.1 million a year. That's the second highest paid quarterback average. I believe Aaron Rodgers is one.
Yeah, also worth noting that Deshaun Watson's average is 46.
Okay.
And Kyler's is 46.1.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, the man who wrote the famed missive can point to, you know, second highest annual average. The annual average is higher than Deshaun Watson's, and the money that he can potentially earn is bigger than Deshaun Watson's. But the team can say, not everything's guaranteed. We are not cutting that huge-ass check that the Haslams did to put into escrow. That's not happening. So let it begin. Here we go. The conversation is going to be this. Does he deserve it? And I know you don't like the answer, Chris. I'm going to give it to you because I say it every time. Yes, he deserves it because it was his turn. And
that's
it was his turn. And the market says this, and that's what the market is for quarterbacks who are drafted first overall and show a generationally talented ability. And even though he has yet to win a playoff game, and even though he has only 3 years under his belt, and normally everybody waits to the fourth year before the fifth year option needs to be picked up before they make a contract like this for the player like this, unless there's somebody like, say, Josh Allen out there who has won playoff games. Yes, he deserves it because it's his turn to get it, and he got it. One day, a team will turn to the player. I don't know if we'll be alive on this day. We'll turn to a player in this situation and say, no, you will not get it. And it's a matter of fact, you're going to have to earn it by winning a playoff game. And if you don't, we'll send you on your way. That's it. See you later. And we'll go back to the draft and we'll start again and try and win a Super Bowl in the first iteration of a contract because that's when it's cheapest for us and we can spread the money around and build a team in a salary cap world for a roster that can win a Super Bowl. That's what we're going to do. And sorry, that day may never happen. I don't think it'll happen while we're alive. And that's why I say, yes, he deserves it. The question is, though, will he earn it in the figurative way?
We watched the playoff game, right?
Win it. Now, the playoff game.
We watched it, right?
Look, man, no DeAndre Hopkins. That you got to put it all together. And he looked overwhelmed, and the Rams were Super Bowl worthy, and the Cardinals weren't. And every single year that he's been in the pros for the Cardinals have come on, done well in the first 2-3 months. This is the Kingsbury Cardinals as well, and just regressed. This year, DeAndre Hopkins was out. Last year, he had that incredible Hail Mary grab, the Hail Murray. And then the team hardly won a game after that. They don't finish well. And this year, they're going to have to start well without DeAndre Hopkins. And they're going to be looking at Kyler Murray and saying, you are one of the highest paid players in the league, or will be when your contract extension kicks in. And you should do well without your guy because you're that quarterback being paid that much. And how will Murray handle all of that? He is not in the Northeast. So that's not going to be something that's churned up right on the sports talk radio 24/7, 365 on multiple radio stations and, you know, a dozen media outlets going to his locker right after. So he is in a good spot for that. But it's on Kyler. Here we go. And will he feel the pressure, as we say in the business? Well, guess what? When you're paid that much money, you should win football games, no matter that your all-pro receiver's out, no matter that you're in the division of the defending Super Bowl champs. Go win a game. Go win the game with your arms and your legs. Go win the game with your Kyler Murray, two touchdowns in the air, two on the ground, and come up with the win.
Go win a game. Win MVP. That's, to a Super Bowl.
He has now officially entered that realm with that contract. So that's the question.
But that's who gets paid this money.
His two objectives was he wants to be your long-term quarterback. Check. He desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. Now it's time to deliver on that. All eyes on Arizona.
Well, we know they're going to make it because the Super Bowl is in Arizona this year. So.
Well done. You know, well done on that.
It's a given, man.
I they have got themselves a really good roster. But now it's going to be more of, okay, Kyler, you've been paid. And he has set a standard. You and the Cardinals have as well. You can pay your guy this way before his fourth year.
Right.
You can pay your guy this way right after year three, before year four. And this is exactly what Baker wanted to do. Cleveland wasn't into it.
Well, you know who the happiest guy in the NFL is right now?
Lamar Jackson?
Absolutely.
Lamar's getting ready to be paid. He reported to training camp today. He's there.
I mean, Lamar's average number is going to have a five in front of it.
Well, Lamar's average number is going to go up, I would think, from this. Because Kyler never won MVP. Kyler's yet to win a playoff game. Lamar has done both. Lamar means the same to his franchise as Kyler obviously does to his. But, you know, Lamar's in a year in front of him, draft-wise. A year in front of him, draft-wise. And what a crazy-ass world we live in right now, man. Baker and Sam Darnold from that draft with Lamar Jackson are on the same team. They're in the same quarterback room right now. Lamar can now get more money than the guy who says he can become the second highest paid quarterback on an annual basis. And Josh Allen is your current odds-on favorite to win the MVP and the Super Bowl. That's your quarterback draft class from 2018, first round. And on the day that Kyler Murray is generationally enriched by the Cardinals, Josh Rosen, that fifth first-round choice who Arizona chose and then one and done for Kyler Murray, he's now trying to become the backup to the backup of the guy who makes the most guaranteed money in the league, Deshaun Watson, from the draft previous to all of them. And he might not play at all this year because of everything else.
Crazy.
What a wild world in the NFL we live in.